It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
I haven't heard this song in a while. You like this one, you?
Nah.
Okay.
What?
I like Beyonce, though.
Well, clearly not.
I mean, it's a good song, no?
I mean, I don't like this song.
Okay. All right. My guess is our next guest does.
Well, we're single now. Yeah. As Eagles
fans.
Oh,
you're trying
to be funny? Yeah, we got a corner opening.
Gotcha.
Single at that
up.
Spot. Yeah.
Going to the club and looking for our next OC.
Yeah, that's where you find.
Oh, gotcha.
I mean, Cliff Kingsbury actually might be there. He strikes me as the kind of guy that might go to a club.
Get Conklin to remix the song.
It'd be great.
As Nick Sirianni. Yep.
All right, let's go to our guest line here. Elliot Shore Parks, of course, sponsored by Cozy Jewelers. Step up to the 50. That's color, cut, clarity, carrot, and Cozy. Elliot, how you doing today?
What up? How are you guys doing today?
Hey, wow. What's up, man?
We're good. I mean, we got a lot to unpack, Elliot. We got a new coordinator search that is underway now for the Philadelphia Eagles. All right. Elliot, I got a lot of questions. I think as soon as these things happen, my mind starts to race on all these questions I have in my head. So I'm going to start firing some of these at you, and I'm very interested in your perspective. So the one we started our show with today is, Elliot, the priority here as the Eagles look to their search for their next coordinator, is it just the best offensive mind that they bring in and interview? Or is it the best fit with Jalen Hurts and to maximize him specifically?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely the best fit for Jalen. And that's why I think Jalen should have the biggest voice in who the new offensive coordinator is. Now, everyone has different opinions on Jalen, right? And I do think this past season, the struggles on the offense were the players, right? The offensive line didn't play well enough. Jalen's accuracy took a step back. I think the for all the talk of the route tree and all that, like, they run what they ran because of Jalen, right? The offense looked the way they wanted to because of Jalen. But here's the thing. Jalen is the quarterback. Jalen is the franchise quarterback. They will be as good of an offense and as good of a team as Jalen is a quarterback. So we can decide, like, do we think Jalen can do it? Can he not? Do they believe him? Do they not? I know a lot of reporting out of that building had the finger pointed at Jalen. It is not productive to do anything other than what is best for Jalen. So I think when making this decision, they have got to do what is absolutely best for Jalen and not try to, like, change him as a player, not try to see if he can do this. Like, the 2026 season isn't a science experiment. It should be an attempt to win the Super Bowl. And the best chance to win the Super Bowl is to get the best quarterback you can. And by doing that, that's where I think I think he should pick the coordinator.
So I got other questions. So I don't want to go too far back and forth on this. But I do with that. So I understand your perspective. Kyle had a similar one. It does suppose, though, or it does assume that Jalen is the long-term quarterback. I mean, Elliot, correct me if I'm wrong. As of this moment, he has 1 year of guaranteed money left on his deal. So, like, are we sure he's the quarterback around here 3 years from now? Because that, to me, is the underlying of all of this. If they're sure, then I'm with you. But I'm not sure. So that's why I just want the best mind.
Yeah, so I would just say quickly, like, we can have our opinions on if Jalen should be the long-term guy. I do think he has made a strong argument for it. Obviously, his resume is good. But if they're not sure about him, then they should just trade him now, right? Like, if they're not sure, if they think he limits the offense, if they think, like, he won't run the ball, right, then just trade him. But if you're going to move on with him as the quarterback, it can't be this is what we want to do, but this is what he wants to do. It can't be a back and forth. Like, it has to be full support of him. So, yeah, do I think they think he's the long-term quarterback? Well, if he starts week one, he better be.
All right, go ahead, Q.
My question would be this, though, Elliot. We've seen Jalen's way, and it didn't work this year. So my question would be, why does Jalen get a say in the offensive coordinator when it was obvious that, you know, he picked Brian Johnson and that didn't work, and we're trying to move forward and get that? So why should he get a say in who he should hire?
Because he's the quarterback. So I agree with – yeah, I just think – so I agree. I think me and you, who are actually on a lot of the same page with Jalen, right? Mm-hmm. But I think that if he's going to be the guy, then you have to do what's best for him, right? So I agree. I think the offense looks the way it looks because that's what they think Jalen is best at, right? I think the offense looks the way it looks because Jalen also has a ton of input in what it looks like. So, like, ultimately, do I think if you pick an offensive coordinator, it'll look much different with Jalen next year? No, I expect things to look mostly the same, frankly, no matter who they hire, because I think ultimately we've seen them hire a bunch of different coordinators. It all looks the same when they're in here. I'm just saying that while I get your point, like, they're going to be as successful as Jalen is, and so you have to do everything as an organization that you can to support him.
Okay, second question I wrote down as soon as I saw Petullo was gone. Do they want someone that will stick around? Elliot, this has been a roller coaster, and some of it has been because they've been so good, right? Like, obviously, Shane Steichen got a head coaching job. Kellen Moore got a head coaching job. It's also not worked out because guys have not been good, and they moved on Brian Johnson and Petullo. But the idea when you hire someone is it's going to work, right? So let's play this out. It works. We're talking about a trip to the Super Bowl next year, and that person, whoever it is, the offense coordinator is probably up for head coaching job. So there is a way to kind of maneuver this, Elliot, where you hire someone who is qualified but probably not a future head coach. I'll just throw two names out there. Frank Reich, who's qualified but probably never going to be a head coach again. And Todd Monken is 59 years old. I mentioned him, a lot of success with Lamar Jackson, but it doesn't kind of fit the bill of head coaches in the NFL because he's going to move into his 60s and has never done it before. Do you think it matters to them to try to find someone that will stick around?
So I don't think it should. I think you have to just hire the best guy because ultimately, like, there are jobs on the line next year, right? Like, what if they pick a coordinator, the offense looks exactly the same, they don't win a playoff game. Like, are we sure Sirianni and Jalen are back? Are we sure a lot of these guys are back?
No,
right?
I'm not sure, yeah.
Right. So I think they need to pick whoever will make them the best team next year for with Jalen. And then after that, you figure it out. But I would also say this, right? Like, I remember when they hired Kellen Moore, there was a lot of discussion of, well, what if he's awesome? And then, he gets a head coaching job. Like, what do? Do you stick with Kellen or do you stick with Nick? And I thought at the time that was a pretty crazy question, right? Like, Nick had taken them to a Super Bowl. I think Nick is a great head coach. I do think he sets a great culture down there. He obviously has a resume that speaks to him being a great coach. But let's say they do get Stefanski to come in here. Mm-hmm. Or let's say they do get Mike McDaniel to come in here. And the offense actually does look much different. And the passing game actually is way better. And Jalen does look like a much better quarterback. Would you let that guy walk out the building next year?
I would not.
I don't know what the decision is there, right? So I actually feel bad for Nick in this situation. Because for his entire career, he's had to push back on the idea of, like, what does he do, right? Well, they only win because of the offense. They only win because Vic Fangio is a defensive coordinator. They only win because of the running game, right? Like, he's right back in that seat now. And I don't think that's fair because I do think he is a great head coach. But if they hire, like, a proven guy who I do think they will hire, I don't think you'll see a first-time play caller. Or even if it is, if the offense looks way better next year, we know Nick's not going to get any credit for that. And I think they're going to put themselves in a tough situation the following offseason. So I think there's potential for real trouble here and how this goes.
All right. So I am with you on this. And I think we could be heading for a moment next year, if it works, where we're having that discussion. Like, we can't let this guy go. And sorry, Nick. And I think around the NFL, Elliot, I think we're close to this happening. I mean, in retrospect now, the Ravens defense 3 years ago was awesome. That was because of Mike McDonald. I mean, in retrospect, they probably should have kept him and moved off of Harbaugh, even though it seemed crazy, right? Ben Johnson and Dan Campbell. I mean, if the Lions could go back now, I think they'd want to keep Ben Johnson. So, I mean, I think your point is going to be a fair one maybe a year from now. All right, let's go to this one. Now, you kind of touched on it, but I'm looking at – so you put a list out yesterday. You had 11 names on there, and I think it's interesting and a good list. Elliot, a couple names on there. Nate Shieldhouse, I brought him up, Rams guy, right? And he interviewed here a few years ago, and it seems like he's got all those things that look like the next offensive mind in the NFL with Sean McVay. Davis Webb, Broncos quarterback coach. Those guys haven't called plays. Do they need a guy that's called plays? Because obviously the last two times this has not worked, Brian Johnson, Petullo, they hadn't called plays before. Do you think they need to hire an experienced play caller?
Yeah, I think they do. And I mean, those guys you just talked about, like, I would advise them not to take the job. Like, I don't know why a first-year coordinator would take this job when the last two first-year coordinators have been fired after 1 year, right? So I think when you're a first-year, when you are a coordinator that has pool, right? Like, a lot of teams want you. You can wait for your right choice. I don't know why you would pick a team that has fired the last two first-year coordinators, right? So I think there's that to consider in terms of who they're going to be able to get this job. But in terms of a play caller, like, yeah, you absolutely have to pick somebody that has called plays. The last two times they had a first-time play caller, clearly they feel it didn't work, right? Like, we can have our opinion on whether or not they should do it. The last two times they have done it, they fired the person the first year after. So I think to fire Petullo and then go and hire another, like, first-year guy that hasn't called plays would probably be counterproductive. Like, I do think you have to go with a proven guy.
Elliot, do you, and Elliot Truparks with us here, as we're unpacking all the questions now for the Eagles as they go through the coordinator search with Petullo gone. I guess it's two part. It's the same question. I'll just ask it kind of both ways. Elliot, do you think Nick Sirianni's earned the right to pick the coordinator, and or has he lost the right now to pick the coordinator?
It's a great question. Mm. I do think he has earned the right to pick his coordinator. If you look at just what he's accomplished in his resume, but I also think, like, in that building, I don't know, do you get the sense that they believe in Nick's style of offense? Like, they wouldn't have fired Petullo if that was the case.
Right.
Like, I think the whole point here is to get something new and different. And you've already seen some reporting about that, how they want to take a big swing and they want to kind of break from the norm. So I think Nick has clearly, like, earned the right to do it. I mean, he's one of the, if not the most successful head coach of the past 5 years, he's certainly on the short list. But it just doesn't seem like that's what they want. So firing Petullo and then letting Nick pick the guy, like, then just keep Petullo at that point. So it's an interesting one. And that's why I think it's a tough spot for whoever they hire. Like, you're coming into a team where you have an offensive head coach that is going to be involved in the offense. And if he's not involved in the offense, that's a super awkward situation to walk into. And you're walking into a situation where the quarterback, like, rightfully so, just like Nick should, will have strong opinions of what the offense should look like. And you have to build around his skill set. So I think it's a tough job. Like, you know, we've seen people do well with it. Obviously, Shane Steichen and Kellen Moore got head coaching jobs. But we've also seen, like, first-time people really fail at it. So it's a tough job.
Elliot, this one I thought about specifically with the name Mike McDaniel. And I have him high on my list. I saw he was on your list. I think he'd be a good hire. And I think he's probably more suited to be a coordinator than a head coach anyway. But he's a former head coach who's got a whole staff he's had with him, right? And his expertise, like, he started out as a run game coordinator. How does Jeff Stoutland play into this whole thing? Like, if they interview McDaniel and he's like, I got the run game, is Jeff Stoutland a non-negotiable? Is he here no matter what? Or is that complicating things that he is so well thought of in the organization and they've elevated him, not just O-line, he's the run game coordinator?
Well, I 100% agree. I think that's another really complicated part of this job is this person going to pick his own staff? Like, I'll take it a step further. Scott Loeffler, right? Like, Scott Loeffler, their quarterback coach, Jalen has pretty much outright said he hopes he sticks around. I think he said it a few weeks ago, right? So if you're an offensive coordinator, I would say the two most important, like, positions you hire, like, you know, to work with are your quarterback coach and your offensive line coach. And is this person going to get to pick that, or is he going to work with Stoutland, who obviously is a Hall of Fame head coach? I think the person would probably want to work with Stoutland, but at the same time, like, he's not your guy, right? And then Scott Loeffler, who's only been here a year, if Jalen wants him to stay, that's an awkward situation too. So I think the stuff around the staff, not to mention Jamal Singleton, they've held him over through a bunch of regimes. Aaron Moorhead is still here. Like, you know, they kind of said throughout the year that it's not only on Petullo, right? It's everybody. Well, we'll find out. Like, we'll find out if anybody is actually, like, punished for what has happened outside of Petullo. And I think the staff thing is an interesting one.
All right, last one. Elliot, what do you think the timeline is going to be on this? So I think their search is complicated by the 9 head coaching openings. I mean, some of these guys they might want are going to interview for head coach jobs, like Stefanski, McDaniel. They're trying to get head coach jobs. Dable interviewed for the Titans. And then if this round of coaching cycle goes to a lot of young defensive guys, they might want to bring some of these offensive guys as their coordinator. So to me, Elliot, there's like these 9 openings complicate the Eagles search. Timeline-wise, what's your guess on this, and do you think it's complicated by the openings around the league?
Yeah, I think it is. I think they would obviously have incentive to try to meet with guys, and if they like somebody, like, offer him the job. I do think the Eagles, like, are a franchise that pays well. So I would think that, you know, you offer the job, you offer them a lot of money, maybe you can get somebody to commit prior to, you know, another opening on, like, the hope of another opening. So I think that's a complicating factor. Another interesting part of this is if I'm an offensive coordinator and I'm interviewing with the Eagles, like, you probably want some answers about a few things. Mm-hmm. Is AJ Brown going to be here? Is Lane Johnson going to be here? Like, what, you know, what's the plan at offensive line? Like, there are those type of questions as well that might play into the timeline of, you know, if those answers are, I don't know, like if Howie is, you know, if he, Howie says he doesn't know if Age will be back, if Lane's unsure if he's going to play again, that's a complicating factor too. So I don't think it'll be too long. I do think they want to interview people, and last year they didn't get to do that with Petullo, but there are a lot of complicating factors.
It's going to be an interesting search, really one of the more interesting ones in the NFL. Elliot, we appreciate it. I'm sure we'll talk again
soon.
And this is going to be a fun one to follow. Thank you, Elliot.
Yep, talk to you soon.
There he goes, Elliot Shore Parks. Here, where do you come down on some of those questions I asked Elliot? Do you think play calling experience is necessary?
Yeah, I think it's paramount.
Okay.
I think that
eliminates some guys, young guys.
Well, yeah, because I think when we talk about what has transpired over the last couple of years, that has been one of the things that we've complained about. When you talk about, it's like a sandwich. It's a Brian Johnson sandwich. He's one piece of the bread. And then you have
Petullo?
Not Petullo.
Moore.
It's a Moore. Moore was in the middle.
What kind of bread?
Let's go with a nice little just white bread.
White bread, okay.
White bread is fine. That's white. We're white bread. So Brian Johnson was the white bread. Coach Moore in the middle.
Yeah.
He was the meat. He the one that got us to the Super Bowl, right?
Turkey?
I'm trying to picture the sandwich. Turkey, whatever.
Okay.
And then Coach Petullo. So we've had three different coordinators in the last 3 years, and we've had one that had the ultimate success.
And he had had experience.
Yes. So I think that's the route that we need to go because, okay, say, for example, you know, Elliot's talking about catering it to Jalen and everything. I think a guy that has more experience knows how to handle and coach around certain things that...
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Jalen doesn't want to do. So, I mean, if that's the case, I'm okay with that.
How about this one? Would you intentionally look for someone that you think might stick around? Like, I brought up the Shieldhouse guy, right? He's 35 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He's from McVay. I mean, if I had to guess, he's going to be a head coach very soon, right? So he might do a good job, but Hugh, he's probably out of here in a year to become a head coach. Then there's Todd Monken, 59 years old, never been a head coach. If I had to guess, he's never going to be an NFL head coach. Like, would you prefer the guy that you think might stick around, or just the best guy, and if he leaves, he leaves.
I would want to try to, if Jalen is my future, I want to give him as much consistency as I possibly could.
So Monken.
Yeah, I would give him that. I would give him that.
Todd Monken checks a lot of boxes. I mean, he really does. I think what he was able to do with Lamar, and Lamar, again, special talent, he won an MVP before Todd Monken, but like Lamar had kind of fallen down, and he brought him back up, and mm-hmm. I thought he became a better thrower and pocket thrower with him. And I don't think he's going to leave. I mean, he's not quite Fangio, like in terms of great, but he's good. And he might stick around. Checks a lot of boxes.
Feels like he's gone with Harbaugh.
He very well might, yeah. Which that complicates things too.
Wasn't that the sticking point with letting Harbaugh go in the first place?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and that complicates things too. I know he interviewed yesterday for the Tampa Bay job, so maybe he's given himself some options, but if he wants to go with Harbaugh, well, then we're not going to get him because obviously John Harbaugh is going to become a head coach. All right, let's go back to the phone lines here. 215-592-9494. A lot to talk about as we go through an Eagles coordinator search. Gone is Petullo, which I know makes everyone very happy. But now we got to unpack what's next and what's most important for the Eagles. Is it the best offensive mind or is it what's best for Jalen Hurts? Kristen is in Philadelphia and she is on WIP. Hey, Kristen.
Hey, I think it's both.
Okay.
Both for the whole offense. And for Jalen Hurts, due to his development, you want him to be developed well so he can stay our franchise quarterback and be successful because it's all about his success. Just like anybody else, everybody can learn every day. You can learn more things. And I also wanted to ask Hugh Douglas, does he hate Jalen Hurts so much to the point that he wants to swing on him?
Wait a minute, what?
Do you hate Jalen Hurts to the point that you want to swing on him?
Why? Oh, can I ask you a question, Kristen? Why do you think I hate Jalen Hurts?
Because you said you wanted to swing on him. That's
biological. No, he didn't say that.
No, I didn't.
I think, Kristen, you may have misheard that.
Wait a minute, Kristen, are you going to let me speak? Kristen, first of all, relax. I don't know what radio station you were listening to.
You said it today, sir.
Okay, wait a minute. I'm about to. So this is what I need you to do, Kristen. Go back in the Odyssey app and listen to whatever parts you heard me say I wanted to swing on Jalen. I never said I wanted to swing on Jalen. That never came out of my mouth.
He never said that.
You must have heard something else.
Gaslight. This is a gaslight now.
Oh my goodness!
No, but Kristen,
I'm a grown man,
and right? I'm a grown woman.
Okay, we've established that. And if I say, could you pot her down for it? Could you pot her down a little bit?
She's on hold.
Because listen, Kristen, this is my show. With all due respect, and if you're going to accuse me of something, you're going to allow me to defend myself. Like I said, I'm a grown ass man, and if I said I want to swing on somebody, I would back that up. But I never said that. So what I need you to do is take some of that bravado out of your conversation and go back and listen to the Odyssey app. And then get back to us. Because I never said anything about swinging on Jalen Hurts. I never said that. I said something about swinging on somebody, but I never said Jalen Hurts. And it was a story. It was a hypothetical. That's all it was. I never said anything about swinging on Jalen.
Yeah, he never did.
Yes, you did.
Well, he didn't.
You said you would swing on Jalen Hurts.
No.
All right, then, Kristen, have a nice day.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not going to argue with you about something that I know I didn't say. Now, if you want to believe that, go right ahead and believe that. But I'm pretty sure when you get out there in the streets and you talk to other people, they're going to let you know that I did not swing on Jalen
Hurts.
Yeah, I think
she misheard. I mean, let's just.
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
I never said that.
No, I know you
I never
did.
Said that. And you're sitting right here, and I never said that.
We all know you didn't say that. It was obviously a case of misunderstanding or mishearing.
Mishearing,
whatever it is.
I mean, this happens every day.
She was pretty insistent, though.
Yeah. Oh, she believes it. I mean, full force believed it.
That's all right. She's going to feel silly when she get out there and somebody tell her, no, you never said that.
Yeah.
And she's still going to double down. Be like, you did
that's
say
it. She's not going to feel silly. She's going to be like, yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We better hope she doesn't swing on you. I mean, you might be in some trouble.
She sounded like something. I don't think I'd mess with her.
I would not mess with her.
I mean, I'm not messing with her, but she's not hearing.
All right, rein it in. All right, 215-592.
That's what you call a self-edit, right?
94-94. It was a self-edit. Look at that. Look at that growth out of you. And we got to get the same growth out of Hurts. We're good then.
This is the reason why I ain't in no relationship now. Because I'm not backing down when I'm accused of something I didn't say.
And you shouldn't. Well, I mean, that's, again, I think it was a simple case of mishearing.
No, she wasn't paying attention. Bottom line, you didn't hear it. I didn't say it.
Yeah.
Bottom line, go back and listen to the Odyssey app. I didn't say it. I didn't say that. I didn't say I wanted to swing on Jalen Hurts. I don't care how diabolical you thought it was. I never said that.
Let me throw one more question at you. I threw it, Elliot, because I have my list of questions I can't get off of. And I think we probably should move off the Kristen thing. Has he earned the right to pick his coordinator?
No.
He lost the right? Because he had it last year.
See, when you ask it like that, I think you're coming from a space where it's disrespectful. Last year, he went to bat for Coach Petullo, right?
Yeah, and they were coming off the Super Bowl.
And it didn't work.
It
didn't work. So now we need to go in a different direction. I don't think this is a thing. See, this is where it gets a little muddy for me. It's because you're gonna add somebody to the equation to make this team better. And knowing how this is probably going to go, if it's better, now there's another question that's going to be in the back burner that's going to be asked.
The future of Sirianni.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I think it's...
So it's a slippery slope.
I know.
But the bottom line is this, Joe. We are fans of the Philadelphia Eagles. We want to win multiple Super Bowls.
Yes.
And if the new coordinator comes in here and puts us in a position to win more Super Bowls, that's all that matters.
I'm with you as a fan, and that's what I want. I don't think this is going to be as simple with Nick as we want it to be. I mean, I know Nick just he just had to move on from his friend that he promoted. That we know. Now, is he just going to take it lying down that he has no say in who his coordinator is after Devontae Smith said it's been the same scheme for 5 years? Like, at some point, he's not a young coach that was just hired that is just going to say, I'll do whatever you say. Like, he is a Super Bowl winning head coach. That's a fact. And he was just given a new long-term deal. At some point, and this is the Doug Peterson thing started to go down this path. At some point, is he going to say, this is what I want? And then what is the front office going to say? They're going to tell him to go in the corner again?
Can I?
We'll keep unpacking. I just I have a lot of questions in my mind because
I'm a long talk. This we gotta go to break.
Yeah, that's why I figured we wait. I could feel the long talking coming. All right,
thank you.
215-592-9494. Okay, your phone calls. Plus, LeSean McCoy defends what he had to say earlier this week about Jalen Hurts, his role, and why the offense looks the way it does. You'll hear from Shady next at 12 o'clock. We will have Jason Avant in for Wide Out Wednesday. All coming up. Your calls. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
You know, this time of year, everybody talking about fresh starts. That's why Hatfield Marinated Pork Tenderloins and Pork Loin Filets are my weekly game plan go-to, people. They're pre-seasoned, packed with protein, and oven-ready in about 35 minutes, so it's no stress and no guesswork. From savory brown sugar to Texas Smokehouse, Tuscan Herb, or honey garlic teriyaki, these flavors turn busy nights into easy wins. Visit simplyhatfield.com for recipes and where to buy. Hatfield, better care, better pork.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Kyle, seriously? You know what? This is too much, Kyle. Stop.
No, this is great. This is great stuff.
He's gonna win. Come on,
Hugh. Guess I got a swing on him now, since you know.
So I've unpacked what she. I think I know where she was going. By the way,
you know,
what's that?
I think you said if Petullo stayed, because we were speculating, would he stay on the staff? Would he want to leave?
Yeah, and I said he would probably want to swing on Jay.
You know,
it, Petullo, not you, yeah. Petullo, Kevin Petullo.
It is kind of your fault. You bring up people getting swung on all the time, all the time.
At some point, someone's gonna misunderstand.
They're analogies, man. They're analogies because
people hear what they want to hear.
Yeah, you're right. But
that's for sure.
They're analogies, and I was talking about how Petullo lost his job. And I also gave a little context because Ryan Fitzpatrick and Richard Sherman talked about how Ryan Fitzpatrick said that Kevin Petullo was upset because it wasn't all his fault.
Right.
So now he gets demoted. And if he's in the building, he's probably going to want to swing on Jalen because he's working with him and he lost his job.
You know, another more evidence that this is your fault, Hugh.
Uh-huh.
You tell people to live their truth all the time.
She was living her
Kristen,
truth.
Kristen was living her truth.
I am not mad at Kristen, but
you were for a few seconds.
Well, I was mad because
I didn't.
Okay, I wasn't mad, but I'm like, damn, how you gonna say that I said something that I didn't say?
Living her truth.
But I get it, Kristen. Live your truth. I didn't say that though, and I apologize if I felt like I got upset. Live your truth. Your truth.
See, this is the problem with living truths, Hugh.
You better be careful walking out of the studio.
Yeah, she might slap me across my lips.
And I would take Kristen.
I don't want any smoke from Kristen.
No, you don't. All right. Before, you know who wanted the smoke from everyone who's responding to him? LeSean McCoy. So a couple days ago, LeSean McCoy, after the game where the Eagles obviously, you know, went down, he talked about the offense and how, you know, the issue has been Jalen Hurts and maybe even more than we understand. So a lot of criticism being fired. You know how this works, right? Hugh knows how it works, right? Former Eagle great says something not perfect about the quarterback or criticizes the quarterback. Well, you're a hater, right? You're not unretired.
And you want to swing on him.
Yeah, right. All that. So LeSean McCoy, he heard the criticism and here is his response to the criticism.
Last year, he did not throw the ball well either. You want to talk about the Super Bowl? Cool. But get into the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl is one game. It's the most important game. I get it. But it's one game. You got to get there. And when we got there, we didn't do a lot of exotic offensive motions. We didn't do none of that last year. Right? The difference was there was holes the size of Care Bear. And our running back is one of the best talented running backs you ever going to find. So we got away with it. Why you think players are freaking reading books at halftime? Mm-hmm. The truth. And I think about it as like, a GM or owner would love to have the talent that we have on our offense. And just imagine, we have an offense where, last year included, we got all these talented, high-paid wide receivers, high-paid quarterback, and we can't throw the ball? So it's just a question that needs to be answered. And then I look into it, I look the same plays last year. We did not have a crazy-looking offense last year. We ran the ball well, and the defense played well. That's the truth. People don't want to hear the truth, but the truth is, it's somewhere in the coordinator and the quarterback. And one thing I know about football, we're going to do what's comfortable for the quarterback. So when you don't see a lot of different exotic looks, you don't see different a lot of motions, you don't see a lot of condensed splits, you don't see different things that you might see in other creative offenses, why is that?
Yeah.
That's all that I'm saying.
I mean, he's not wrong. I mean,
no, he's not. He's not. And you know, I've had a chance to talk to Shady. Here's the one thing people need to understand. We all play football, and that's not trying to diminish anybody else's opinion about this or the way that they feel about their quarterback. But a lot of times we are in a unique position of having played the game and going into this thing. We don't have any axe to grind. We're not NBA players. like to be honest, like you hear a lot of NBA players, they don't mind hating on the young regime. Now, I will say this, as we've meandered through this, there's a lot of guys in the NFL or former NFL players that tend to do it more now than they ever did before. But a lot of times when you give information, it's because you sit back and, number one, you look at it, you look at what you see, and then you talk to people, you confirm what you've heard, or you talk to guys that are in the building. Shady talked to a lot of people, man, and I've talked to Shady throughout this whole thing. And the one thing that he said to me, hey, man, is it is what it is. People don't want to hear it. And you have to look at it like this, folks. I don't know what it is. I'm not in the locker room. I'm not in the huddle. I don't know. But when you have three different coordinators in 3 years and you have an offense that struggles at certain times, you fire the coordinators and the quarterback is the constant, you have to look at it for it might be the quarterback. Well, I'm not saying it is, but it might be. And I think that for a lot of people, that's hard to fathom, because you look at the success he's had. He's had a lot of success, and nobody's taking that away from him. Jalen's bust, if he's going to Canada, he's already going to the Eagles Hall of Fame. And his Hall of Fame candidacy is still up in the air. But he can make it different. But to sit there and think that he's above a reproach or above criticism, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I also think there's a thing with fans assume that a former player of a team is just supposed to always just say nice things
like
about the team.
Yeah, we're supposed to just automatically just spout the company line.
Yeah, well, the reason why I think, as just forget our show and what I do, what we do, as a fan, just like of talk and sports talk and all that, I find it interesting when ex-players give their opinion, because you have a very unique perspective. You do, Ike does, Richie does. It's part of why I enjoy listening to those guys and working with you. But if your perspective every day was just go Birds, it wouldn't be that interesting.
No.
Like, now, I know that's what you feel, but like...
On Friday,
I get it. And we all feel that. And I know deep down that's where your heart is, but I also want your opinion on what you see and what you hear. Right, so like when everyone gets on Shady, I'm like, guys, grow up. I mean, what really should get people upset about the Hurts criticism when it comes from within the building? Like, that's the stuff that should frustrate you, because like everyone in the building currently is trying to win football games, whatever or part of the building they're in, player personnel or staff or whatever. They ripped the guy and they put it out there publicly. Like, Shady's just given his opinion, and he's. Also, his opinion is pretty factual. Like, it's rooted in a lot of fact. The passing game has not been good here for years.
You know what? I always, even though I played football, there's so many different levels to this game. Like, when Ike's talking, I sit there and I listen to what he has to say, because he played linebacker. And his perspective and his view of the game is totally different than my view of the game. John Ritchie, the same thing. Offensive player. His view of the game is totally different from mine.
Right.
That's why when Jason Avant comes in here, when he starts dropping that knowledge, I'm listening to what he has to say.
12 o'clock, Jason, coming
today.
Yeah,
because I'm trying to marry it to what I see, because they have a lot of knowledge. We all see the game differently, but at the end of the day, we all come to the same conclusion. It's not all the offensive coordinator's fault. It's not all his fault. It can't be. It's a collective of everything. It's a collective of the offensive line. Jalen Hurts has some say in that, because Elliott and Ike were arguing the other day about the play between AJ and Jalen, and whether or not Jalen should have threw a better pass, and if AJ should have caught it.
The drop at the end?
Yes. Yeah.
So I thought Elliott's point was, if he put it in front of him, he could have ran with
yes.
it. Now, it was obviously a drop, but I understand Elliott's point, right? Like, if he threw it in front of him, he probably had room to run.
Yes.
Yeah, but again, he should have caught it.
And my thing is this, and Ike said it should have been a better play call. A better pass.
Right.
For me, as a defender, hell, if it touch your hands, you should catch it. That's my philosophy. But when you hear both of the perspectives from Elliott and Ike, I understand both of them. And it's a tough place to be, but I agree with both of them. You know, it could have been a better throw. It could have been a better attempt to catch the ball. So it's one of those things, man. We can't live in this bubble when we talk about football and getting your feelings when you hear something or you think you hear something that you don't like.
Yeah. Also, I just want to do this quickly, then right back to your phone calls. Sometimes I don't think we fully think through the theories we have, right? Like, if Petula was just a sabotage, he sabotaged the season. Like, elementary offense, ridiculously bad, crazy bad, right? And Jalen had no part of it. If that's your perspective, like, then either the coaches are that bad, and the Eagles, a great organization, allowed bad coaches to just, like, be hired, or they didn't realize they were bad. Like, none of that makes any logical sense. That's why there's always more of us. All right. This segment brought to you by Meineke. Cold starts, slick roads, winter wear and tear, brakes, tires, batteries, and complete auto care by trusted experts. Meineke, doing car care right. We have some Eagles news?
Yeah. Not news, just sort of potential news, I should say. According to Jordan Schultz, the Cowboys requesting permission to interview Christian Parker, our defensive backs coach, for their vacant
position. Trying
DC
to get
position.
Up out of here.
I think he's been, I guess, maybe like a potential defensive coordinator candidate for a while now.
Yeah.
He'd be a good hire for them.
I agree. It'd be a loss for us. I mean, look at the
two all-pro corners.
Right. And right away they were good. Now
familiar with us, too. I mean, the Cowboys, that's not good.
I also think we've gotten a lot out of marginal talent at safety. I mean, Reed has played here for years. And I don't think he's the most talented guy in the world, right? He wasn't a high pick. He wasn't even a pick. Wasn't he undrafted?
Yeah, he played well.
No,
he played well.
He was undrafted, yeah.
Right, but like that's a credit to the D-backs coach.
I mean, yeah. Think about Adoree this year.
I know.
I thought he got better and better as the year went on.
Yeah, they brought Epps back, and it didn't kill him. Now, he didn't play well Sunday, but for the most part, they got away with a guy that was on the street in the middle of the season. So we'll keep an eye on that one. Obviously, it could help.
Couldn't fix Keely Ringo.
Well, I mean, these guys are not magicians. I mean, some people you can't fix. All right, Will in the Northeast. Hey, Will.
Dream team, how y'all doing today?
Hey, Will. What's up, buddy?
Y'all allow me to long talk for just a moment.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so this is my thing, right? Like I said, you don't want to give me credit for it. I'm taking my credit right now.
Let me guess, eye formation.
The reason why.
Derrick Henry, go ahead.
They won the Super Bowl last year is because I advocated for a better runner back.
Sure.
A power back and somebody that can actually, you know, carry the ball as many times as Saquon did. Mm-hmm. But like I said, I wanted Derrick Henry here. Y'all wanted Saquon. As y'all saw, Derrick Henry was...
Hold on, really?
Hold on. We were right.
Will, this is what
we're doing. No, y'all wasn't.
Yes, we were.
It is 2026, and we're still doing
this. He had 2,000 yards, and they won the Super Bowl, Will. We were right.
Hold up. Okay.
Game's over.
Let me just say this, and then I'm going to go through my facts and not feelings, all right?
Oh, boy.
My thing is this. With Derrick Henry, it has been two running backs that has been proven the last 5 years, McCaffrey and Derrick Henry. Not Saquon. He had one good season with us, and that was because of the offensive line, and we saw that this season, okay? So let's put that to an end right there. And Derrick Henry—
well, I mean, hold on. Saquon had like 1,800 yards on a terrible Giants team 1 year. I mean, he can play.
And Derrick Henry was on a terrible—
Tennessee.
He got traded.
They were the number one seed.
But what's Henry doing with this O-line this year?
I'm gonna put this to rest after I say this.
No, it's already to rest.
They're all great, you know.
Let him have the floor.
I'm sorry. My apologies.
Do you think Derrick Henry would have had a greater season? Or better season.
That's what I'm talking about. We'll bring up them old takes.
Beside the point, why are we doing this right now?
What does this have to do with the next?
Wednesday.
Okay, that's there and gone. All right. So let's go with the facts over feelings. All right. This is my thing. Yesterday with that Sirianni and KP, that was some shady stuff, right? And my thing is, as a friend and as a coach, you know. You giving this man a job, and if he wasn't ready for the job, it is accountability on both sides. He wasn't ready for the job, and Sirianni, you knew he wasn't ready. So guess what? Both of y'all deserve what y'all got. So now this is the thing with the Sirianni situation. Let's keep it a beam. Now y'all keep saying Jalen Hurts is better because of the team around him. We could say that about the coach too. Am I correct?
Of course.
Yeah, yeah. You can say that.
They've both benefited from having a great roster that Howie has put around them. Yeah, I agree.
Okay. All right. So my thing is this, right? And what you were saying is Monken, he is a great pick. And I also said that, you know, that our guy that's coming on next, Jason Avant, he would have been a great pick because he dissects the offense and know what's going on and all that.
You want Avant to be the offense coordinator?
I mean, I wouldn't mind him.
I'll ask him if he's throwing his hat in the ring.
He ain't going to do that. He declined, but I would say that, yes, I would pick him. Or he would be in my picking.
All right, well, good phone call. We got you. We appreciate it. I mean,
not a great phone call.
What did we accomplish?
One of Will's worst. What are we talking about?
We reopened the Derrick Henry Saquon debate.
Every like once a week, he has to relitigate the Derrick Henry and the I formation thing.
He told you so.
Why?
Because he told you so.
I just like. Does he wake up and think about Derrick Henry and the I formation?
Yes.
That would be kind of weird.
Well, it sounds like he does. I mean, if we're being honest. All right, let's go to Eric in California. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. So, I think we need an offensive coordinator that's got enough stature. Offensive coordinator.
No, okay. I'm sorry. I misheard you.
Go for it. You're good, Eric. Go ahead.
That has enough stature or credibility that Jalen will listen to. I could imagine the power dynamic with Jalen and Kevin Betullo, with their familiarity and the way KP started at the organization, would not be conducive to Jalen trusting him or looking up to him, especially if in a tough situation.
Yeah, Eric, to that point, I think there probably was a lot of, like, they're on the same level rather than Petullo's, like, I'm the coach, you're the player. Because you're right, he knew him for all the years, and Jalen obviously had a different stature. I understand your point. Like, maybe someone that's got a little bit more authority to them in the position.
Yeah, more cachet. You know, in the good book, it says a prophet is without honor in his own country. You bring someone from the outside, it's probably easy for Jalen to go, hey, it doesn't make sense to me, but I'm going to listen to you. You've done it before. I'll try your way.
Yeah, so Eric, they could do that. Man. So he did. And good phone call. We appreciate it. So who would fit that bill? Who would fit that bill? Someone that can say it's my way or the highway kind of thing.
Well, I think
Daboll. Daboll seems like he barks back.
This is what I think. I think that regardless of who is the offensive coordinator,
yeah,
they're gonna have that pool anyway because Jalen's under the microscope now in that building. Jalen's under the microscope. And the reason why I say that is this. Follow me. All season long, before it got to where we are now, A.J. Brown hinted, and whether you like him or not, he hinted that the offensive coordinator wasn't the problem. Mm. And he also said, y'all see what the problem is. He hinted to that.
Well, so, he hinted it was the quarterback.
Well, he hinted it was the quarterback. And you have a bunch of guys out there on this team that are in there that said it's not the coordinator. They said that.
Loudly.
Loudly. And they were petitioning for him. Everybody but the quarterback. So now you get rid of the offensive coordinator quickly, I might add. So now it's on Jalen. So the next voice that comes in here is going to be independent of everybody. He's like, remember, what was it, Pulp Fiction? The cleaner? The cleaner coming in this thing.
The wolf.
We getting the wolf. So, the wolf coming in and cleaning this thing up.
All right, there's different kinds of wolves we could bring in, though, right? Like, there are some guys that have experience. Some are younger. Question for you, Hugh. This I need you as a tap back in being a football player, right?
Mm-hmm.
I like Mike McDaniel. Think he's bright. I think he's probably better suited to be an offense coordinator. But he's
Capri Pants.
Can you listen to a guy in Capri Pants? I'm just asking.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Like, a guy in Capri Pants is yelling at you. Are you taking him seriously?
Well, I'll tell you what. To be honest, Joe, I think that Coach McDaniel would have a tough time here in Philadelphia because I think us as a fan base, he would have to win us over because only thing we would see is him in Capri Pants. Can't even say it. Capri Pants on the sideline looking goofy, like initially. Kind of like Coach Goober, Coach Moore, when he first got here.
Yeah, but he didn't wear capri pants.
No, but he was goofy. He looked goofy.
Coach Goober, you nicknamed that early, yeah.
I think that he would do himself a favor if he came into – say if they hired him. He came into the press conference, and he said, I'm playing no favorites. I'm trying to get back this team back to the Super Bowl caliber squad that it was, and I'm going to play the best guys. and I'm going to ask a lot of our quarterback and you know, this offense. I think he can win the squad over that way. Yeah, so to answer your question in long form, yes. I think that the press conference that's had, whomever this offensive coordinator is going to tell you everything you need to know about the upcoming season.
Jeff in Wilmington up. Hey, Jeff.
What's up, guys?
Hey,
what's
Jeff.
What's up, Jeff?
Well, if McDaniel comes here, he can get a lot of street cred by wearing sweatpants with one pant leg up, one down, like LL Cool J.
That's what he does. Yeah, he's
a simple fix.
He would be unique, man. His press conferences, his personality would be fun.
Yep. All right. So I understand what Kyle is saying, but Chuck made a point a while back. As long as Howie and Jeff are running things, there's not a lot of window closing going on here. So I'm more in agreement with you and Hugh on this, Joe and Hugh. Bring somebody in here. Either way, I think you're going to find out if Jalen is the problem or not. And also, he's only got one more year on his contract. Do we really know if they're going to keep him or if they're going to re-sign him? We don't know that. So either way, you're going to find out what he's all about. And I really don't like the part that he said. Jalen said this, a year or two ago. It's going to be what I want it to be. Dude, guess what? It hasn't really been pretty the last 2 years. Yeah, we won the Super Bowl, but that was based on our defense and running game. So,
well, sure. And Jeff, if it looked like it did in 22, when I thought that was the best, you know, full season Jalen had, then cool. Yeah. Then we'll just do it your way, right? That's awesome. But the last couple of years, a Jeff Good phone call hasn't been like that. Now, I just want to make it clear what Jeff was talking about. What I said earlier, Jalen has more on his contract than just 1 year, but he only has 1 year of guaranteed money left. And just, you know, across the NFL, and here we see this a lot, players do not, especially established players, right? Mm-hmm. They do not like to go into the final year without guaranteed money. So,
yeah, lame duck situation.
So basically, at the end of next season, it's either they give him a new contract or he's gone. I mean, I think there's almost zero chance a starting and you know, productive quarterback in the league would play with zero left on his deal after next season. So I think he's here next year and either gets an extension now or next season or he's not here the next year.
I don't think he gets one now. Yeah. This is what I think happens. Everything, this all lined up perfectly because I feel this is my feeling. I haven't talked to anybody, but there's been a lot of speculation, recklessly, if you want to add that, about the quarterback's ability to do certain things, like from the players, the fan base, and other people. There's been rumblings of that, and there's also been rumblings about his attitude. Like, let's go. Like, this is a cornucopia of different things, people. A couple years ago, we talked about how Jalen was kind of standoffish and how they had to force him to go to certain team functions and all that other stuff. So now we're at a come to Jesus moment. All this happened for a reason. And that's why I feel strongly about the position that the offensive coordinator that's coming in here, he's taking Jalen's game to the lab. I feel that that's what's going to happen. His game is going to be taken to the lab. He's going to be asked to do way more than he's had to do in the past. So that's what it's going to come down to. I don't think they're resigning this year.
Yeah,
they're going to wait and see.
I agree with that. 215-592-9494. Are your phone calls coming up? Also, Wideout Wednesday, Jason Avant in studio. We'll ask him what he thinks they should do and who he wants for the next OC. And some things for Sunday's game, specifically the last four plays, the final drive. How much was on Petullo? How much was on Hurts? What could have been different? That's all next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.